Okay. Hi. So for anyone who doesn't know, I'm Lisa. I'm 21. My parents are the pastors. And I've been a Christian since I was 11. And just like a kind of a slight tangent, but I think it's relevant. I've been a Christian since I was 11, and I don't really have like an amazing testimony in terms of like, I know pastors who have been like, you know, they've been like in drug abuse and stuff like that, and Jesus has just like saved them and they should have died and all this sort of stuff. So I feel like sometimes I don't really share my testimony because I'm like, oh, it's, you know, it's a bit boring. But God really reminded me that actually my testimony is that God made a way for me with my parents. He saved my parents. And therefore, I grew up in a loving Christian home and always knew Jesus from a young age. So I think if there's anyone in the room who's like, oh, my testimony's a bit pants because I don't have this kind of this crazy story, it's like, no, like God has, I'm just so grateful for what God has done. And what, yeah, just how he's provided, and that I haven't had to kind of like go off or have like a prodigal son moment to find Jesus because I've always known him from a young age. So yeah, so just as anyone's seen him that way. Okay, so yes, I'll be preaching today on part three of our series on a growing church, particularly looking at being devoted to one another and the strength of fellowship. So that's kind of the title of the message today. So church is not a crowd. It's a community. It isn't a concert full of people who like the music, although we do. We're here to worship God and to get to know him more and do fellowship with each other. And this has been a culture, you know, church has been happening for thousands and thousands of years. Especially church, kind of how we see it now, has been especially born out of the Acts church. When they started to, you know, after Jesus kind of ascended to heaven and they started to meet in synagogues and then in houses, and they would start to kind of work out their salvation. Because of course with Jesus that was such a massive change, and of course these people didn't have the early Acts church didn't have the New Testament written down, so everything about like their salvation they just had to hear from word of mouth. So at that point especially, fellowship was so incredibly vital because they didn't know who they were in Jesus, and especially for like the Gentiles as well, who didn't even know any of the scriptures. It was completely new. So Acts 2 verse 42 says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, like, yeah, sounds getting cool, and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Just 5 minutes here. So this was very important to the Acts church. Just spending time together and just being devoted and being devoted to each other and just teaching, make sure they got the right theology and just encouraging each other in God. And it was a really difficult time to be a Christian. This was when the Roman Empire was at its peak. This is, you know, this is when you would be killed to be a Christian. So this is what they really hung on to, was all the Christians that they knew who they could have fellowship with. Fellowship wasn't optional, and it was spiritual. Just find my notes. Okay. It was about doing life together, and the same with us meeting in a connect group. It isn't just about going there for coffee or cake, although that's great. It's good. It's a supernatural connection. It's a great way to encounter and grow closer to Jesus. Proverbs 27, verses 17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Yeah, so in terms of connect groups, I kind of did like a bit of stats because I was kind of working out, okay, if you didn't go to connect group, and then what would kind of your week look like in terms of church. So if you've got, so you've got 168 hours in a week. If you get 8 hours of sleep, that'd be like 56 hours a week. I mean, if there's anyone getting 8 hours of sleep here, then well done, because I'm not, but I should be. But But yeah, if you count that, then church is an hour and a half a week, which in terms of percentages accounts for 0.9% of your time that week. So not even 1%. I mean, if you're good and you get hit early and you know, and then you spend time in hospitality and stuff, then you're around about 2%. But that's still very small. You know, you've got to spend time with Jesus on your own and in a connect group. Otherwise, you're just really going to struggle, really going to struggle. The pull of the world is great. And I think if you only spend time with Jesus on a Sunday, that pull is going to be too great. And you're just going to fall away and struggle to stay on fire for Jesus. So it's important to be passionate about God throughout the week and not just on a Sunday. Second of all, fellowship is the sharing of life. It's about walking together in honesty, joy, pain, and purpose. So 1 Corinthians 12, verse 26 says, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. That means that your struggles, we share within them. Your successes, we share them as well. It's so important to have people that you lean on, people to pray with you, people to pick you up when you're struggling, people to cry with you if you need to cry, people to laugh with if you need to laugh. It's so incredibly important. Romans 12 verse 10 also says to be devoted to one another in love and honor one another above us yourselves. So we aren't meant to do life on our own. And the thing is, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. If you've ever seen nature documentaries, you may see, I'm going to do my best like David Attenborough impression. Lion. Okay, I can't do it. You discovered that. Okay. This is why you practice. Okay. Okay. I'm not going to attempt that. That was a bad decision. Okay. So if you watch a nature documentary, you'll see that there'll be like lions over here and like gazelles. And what the lions will do is they'll kind of create this formation and try to get the gazelle like isolated on its own, because then it can kind of attack it much easier. But if it's like, if the gazelle is like in its herd, then they can't really you know, reach. So the thing is, that's what the devil tries to do with us. If we look at us as sheep, which we are, and devil is like the wolf, and when we isolate ourselves from others, then it makes it much, much easier for him to try and grab us and take us along with him. So if we are isolated, we become vulnerable. But if we're a whole herd standing tightly together, nothing can separate it. So, yeah. Okay. So, number three, unity brings blessing. When there is unity, God commands a blessing. So you see this in Psalm 133, verse 1 to 3. And just get it up. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. I love that. It says, when we live together in unity, God bestows blessing. And why does he do that? Because he loves unity. He loves unity, so he blesses it like he loves us and blesses us. He loves unity because it represents heaven and it represents kingdom culture. In heaven, there won't be any disunity. And that's why, is because it's not of God. If you look, go to Revelation, I think it's, Revelation chapter 4, verse 8. That is a great picture of heaven. It says, Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under its wings. Day and night, they never stopped saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." That's the thing. That is the picture of heaven. All of us just worshiping Jesus. And at that point, you won't care who you're next to or worry about anything. You'll just be unified as one nation. And I feel like sometimes there can just be like disunity even between different Christians, and there's different camps, and you think, oh well, heaven, there'll be like the evangelicals over here and the Pentecostals over here, but it won't be. We'll all be together and all be as one. So why not have this unity now? Let's not wait till heaven to have this, you know. Let's just point our eyes to Jesus, because when we do, everything else falls away. Things like disunity and stuff, they just seem small and that they don't matter, and it's just Jesus that's all that's important. So let's have this here on earth. Just find my notes here. Hold on. I wrote this all skew-if, which is why it doesn't help, but I'm gonna find it. Yeah. So. Okay. So unity was also very present in the Acts church, even though it was difficult. So again, as I mentioned, there was the Jews and the Gentiles. And because of like history and stuff, in the Old Testament, the Jews and the Gentiles had been fighting each other, killing each other. You know, the Gentiles were like the Philistines, and they were fighting and all this kind of stuff. So now the fact that Gentiles were Christians really cause a lot of upset, and it would be like someone coming to church today who's like killed your ancestor, and they're like, "Oh, can I sit next to your church?" You'd be like, "No." That's like, "No, what?" You know what I mean? So this was like the culture at the time, and what Paul really had to speak into. He talked about how they've got to love each other. It said there was neither Jew nor Gentile. Everyone is one in Christ Jesus. And this was like life-changing, incredible stuff at the time, because people were like, what? I've never heard this before. Especially as well with Jesus and being like, love your enemies. This was completely world-changing stuff. And the thing is, today, it's still world-changing. It's kind of sad that it is, but it is. It's still world-changing now, because people don't live in unity. And I know this is kind of, the thing is this, we kind of decided that this, you know, we speak on a growing church and stuff. We decided that weeks ago, but I feel like this is so relevant now and today in our culture, because there is a lot of disunity going on. There's people who are fighting, you know, different groups of people, and there's just divides between like political views and stuff. And the thing is, we've just got to be like Jesus. And just represent him as well, even though it's not easy. We've just got to show unity, even if, and love to that person, even if they don't deserve it, because that's exactly what Jesus did. Okay. So, love is our evidence. Jesus said the world would know us by our love. So, John 13. Verse 35, 36. A new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. So again, it's just so important to love one another. And I saw a thing on yesterday, it was an Instagram reel, and I thought that it was relevant. A pastor kind of entered into ChatGPT and was like, asked the AI, what would you do if you were the devil? It's quite an interesting question. But one thing that it said was, I divide the church. I would cause petty arguments, gossip, comparison, and offense. If I can get Christians fighting each other, they'll never fight me. And I thought, oh my gosh, How true is that? How does ChatGPT know the devil better than I do? What? So, okay. But let's remember to break these things. You know, if we have, kind of arguments and stuff going on and stuff, we're not focused on what our true purpose is, which is to reach, grow, and empower, which is to bring Christian non-Christians in, is to to help them receive salvation, it's to break free the captives, it's to bring freedom, it's to to bring salvation, all this sort of stuff. But if we get caught up in this kind of pettiness, then we just can't do our purpose. And the thing is, it can be so hard to show kingdom culture to worldly culture, and we've just got to make sure that we're the one that does the changing rather than the worldly culture becoming into us. You know, if the church is the same as the world, then what's the point of the church? We have got to be different, even though it's not always easy. So, yeah. So, and again, that just comes from love. Again, we have our differences, but love is always the glue that keeps us together. And even people will realize we're a Christian just by our love. Again, with what John 13, verse 34 to 35 said, it says, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. It doesn't even say, by this, everyone will know you are my disciples if you tell them I'm a follower of Jesus. It says, if you love one another, people will know that you're my disciple. That's how powerful love is. And how important it is that we just act how Jesus did. You know, there is power in our actions, there is power in our choices, so let's make sure to make the right choice to love one another, even if someone doesn't deserve it or they don't act in love towards you. Remember, we don't deserve love either. We are saved by God's grace, and the best representation of love was Jesus going to the cross. We didn't deserve it. And the thing is, he still went to the cross knowing that people wouldn't even follow him. That is an example of love. True love doesn't have conditions. He didn't just do it for you and me. He died for people who he knew, who, you know, make fun of him. He died for comedians who spend, every Saturday night making fun of him. He died for people practicing different religions. Yeah, he died for everyone. And that is true love. And that's the kind of love that we've got to represent. We've got to represent Jesus. And it's not easy, but we can do it because we've got Jesus to help us. So love is our evidence, and we've got to act in love with non-Christians and with Christians as well. Let's prioritize real relationships. This is the importance of joining a connect group and, share meals and carry one another's burdens. Just like the Acts Church, they thrived in community and not in isolation. And also, just another thing that I love about, so I also go to a connect group in Portsmouth when I'm there studying uni stuff. And we have an 1830s connect group that meets every other Wednesday. And also because, like, especially Portsmouth is so diverse, what's great is I've met so many different people who are different to me. I know people from the Philippines, I know people from Ghana, I know people from Poland, and also just people who've got a totally different background to me, or they never grew up in church, or they've only been to like family church for like 6 months, things like that. But we all get along and we all love each other, and we all spend time in the Bible and sharing, and because we're all so different, everyone has a different perspective, and you're like, oh, I never thought of it that way. And that's what I love about connect groups. Because someone may have like a different background to you, but that's what's so great about it, because they'll see something that you won't see, and they'll teach you something as well. So yeah, of course, I recommend to get involved in a connect group. It will just bless you. So yeah, let's remember to love each other, to have unity, to keep getting to know God throughout the week and not just Sunday, and just spending time in fellowship, because that's where your strength will be. That's where you'll find strength. And those people you've got fellowship with, they're the ones that will pick you up when you're down. So yeah,
get in a connect group.
All right. Thank you.